Welcome to the Winning Edge Coach Podcast with your host, peak performance mindset and life coach, Kevin Oakley. In each episode, Kevin will share with you the tools, tips, and strategies to help you to be the best you can be.
Hey everybody, you're listening to episode 48 of the Winning Edge Coach Podcast. The podcast that aims to provide you with the tools, tactics, and techniques to allow you to live the life you were meant to live. It is all about giving you the tools and strategies to allow you to show up in the world and to shine. In this episode, I'm going to do my 2021 top 10 review of things I have learned during the course of producing and launching the podcast. But before we get started, I just want to remind you that the previous episodes of the podcast are available on all the major podcast platforms. So if you're not yet had the chance, why not put some time to one side and give them a listen? If you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to hit the subscribe button or like button so that you can catch all the future episodes. If your podcast platform allows it, please leave a review because that helps to get the podcast seen and to expand the audience. Also, tell your friends about it. Share the podcast on social media. Let's get the word out there. Let's share this information with as many people as we possibly can. The aim of the podcast is to make sure that people aren't sleepwalking through life. I want people to live the life they were meant to live and bring forth their gifts and talents into the world. Okay, let's get on with episode 48 of the podcast. And I want to share with you the 10 things I have learned in 2021 through producing and launching the podcast. The idea of producing a podcast had been with me for some years. And I wanted to share with people the lessons I'd learned as a life coach, the lessons I'd learned from my general interests around neuroscience, brain science, and just general things around cognitive improvement. But it wasn't until May of 2021 that I actually got round to launch the podcast. It went live and the journey started. And since then, I've produced 48 episodes of the show. And looking back over those episodes to prepare this top 10 actually struck me the amount of ground I've covered in that time and sort of the amount of momentum that the podcast has built up. So it felt quite poignant really to just take a step back at the end of 2021 and look at some of those significant learnings that have come from the various episodes, whether it was insights into sleep, mindset, etc., and pick out the ones that struck me and that would feature in my top 10. So in the time-honored tradition of chart shows, I'm going to do a 10 to 1 countdown of the top 10 learnings from 2021. In at number 10 and shared in episode number 5 is the power of gratitude. For me, one of the most powerful tools and simplest tools you can employ in your daily life is to express gratitude. And to take that a little bit further is actually to write down the things that you're grateful for. I advocate as a coach to actually spend a little bit of time every morning writing down 3 things that you are looking forward to that day, no matter how small. And at the end of the day, write down 4 things that you are grateful for. They don't have to be massive things. They don't have to be huge. They can just be the simplest of things. The important thing is to put the time to one side and write down at the start of the day, 3 things you're looking forward to. And at the end of the day, 4 things that you were grateful for that day. And over a period of time, the impact of this will be profound. In at number 9 of my top 10 of learnings for 2021 is change your inner self-talk. This was discussed in episode 41. It was also inspired by an episode of the Tim Ferriss podcast, where he interviewed Dr. Jim Lowitt on how to achieve mental toughness, energy management, and more. In that episode of the Tim Ferriss Show, Tim and Jim discussed the impact of that inner voice that we all have, that inner voice that speaks to us all the time. And Jim pointed out that if that inner voice was your coach, would you hire him or her? And it got me thinking, that inner voice that's constantly with us, either is it supportive or Is it a critic? Is it somebody who was constantly demeaning us and putting us down? And it inspired episode 41. We should be striving for that inner voice to be the supportive coach on the sidelines. Yeah, it can critique, but it's got to be constructive criticism. It's got to be the kind of feedback that you're looking for from your inner coach. So instead of the voice that says, oh, you'll never be able to do that, you're always going to fail at that, the inner voice that says, well, with a little bit of adjustment in time, we can do that. Or we've just taken that next step to being able to do it. By changing that inner voice to be more supportive and to be your inner coach will help you to make massive strides in your life. At number 8, we have changed the meaning you're giving to events. This featured in episode 41 also. Change the meaning you are giving to things. Or to put it another way, reframe what happens to you in your life. As I said back in episode 41, how often do you find yourself waking up on a Monday morning saying to yourself, I have to go to work? Well, if you reframed the way you look at that or change the meaning you're giving it, in other words, change the perspective, you could say, I get to go to work. Here in the UK in 2017, 2 million people could not go to work because of long-term illness. They might have actually loved to wake up on a Monday morning with the prospect of going to work, but they're unable to because of the nature of their illness. You are in a very fortunate position on a Monday morning if you get up and get to go to work. Again, the other example I used to illustrate reframing was, what about if you find yourself complaining about having to pay the costs of running a home, the mortgage, the utility bills, etc. Reframe that. Change the perspective. Look at it this way. You have bills to pay. It means you have a home. It is an estimated that 150 million people worldwide are homeless. The fact that you have bills to pay means you have a roof over your head and somewhere to live. You're far better off than 150 million other people. If you just spend a few seconds to step back, you can always find a different meaning or a new frame to put around the events that are happening to you. At number 7 in my top 10, no caffeine after 12 p.m. This featured in episodes 1 and episodes 11. This has been a game changer for me. Just to give it some context, according to the American Society of Sleep Medicine, caffeine's half-life is about 5 to 6 hours. Just to explain that, the half-life is the amount of time it takes for the quantity of a substance to be reduced to half its original amount. So, if you consumed a cup of coffee, which has an average of about 95 milligrams of caffeine, after about 5 to 6 hours, you're still going to have about approximately 47.5 milligrams of caffeine in your body. That will depend on how the coffee was made, what it was made from, and also your own genetics. We all process caffeine slightly differently. The effects from caffeine reach a peak. It's about 30 to 60 minutes after consumption, and that's when you'll normally get that caffeine buzz. The other half of the caffeine that you consume can stay in your system for much longer than the 5 hours. So that 47.5 milligrams that's left after the 5 to 6 hours can take even longer then to reduce further. And that again will depend on your own individual genetic makeup and your ability to process caffeine. Following the research into sleep for the various episodes of the podcast, I decided to stop caffeine consumption at 12 p.m, which gives me on average about 9 to 10 hours before I go to bed. Yes, I do go to bed early, but I like to prioritize sleep. That change of stopping caffeine at 12 p.m. was a game changer in terms of the impact on the quality of my sleep. What absolutely amazed me, the vividness of my dreams improved, the depth of my sleep improved, and when I woke up, I felt refreshed. And it's probably been one of the key changes that I've made from the podcast that has had quite a profound change. In at number 6, we have the importance of mental flexibility, mental recovery, and mental resilience. This protocol featured in episode 26, and actually it was taken from or inspired by a training protocol even for senior or veteran athletes, where it looked at getting the right balance between recovery, flexibility, and strength or resistance training. And I thought this can be adapted to actually the way you use your mind. So in other words, prioritize recovery. You mentally need to recover every day, every week. You need to put time to one side to recover, whatever that looks like for you, whether it's a walk out in nature, a catch up with friends, or just simply enjoying your favorite hobby. Put time to one side to make sure that you recover mentally. To put it another way, whenever we get onto a plane and the air steward or air stewardess goes through the pre-flight safety routines, they'll always, part of those safety routines, say to you, before helping anyone else, put your own oxygen mask on first. And we should do the same with our own mental recovery. In terms of mental flexibility, become mentally more flexible. Change the way you look at the world. Ask yourself better questions. How can I get the best out of this situation for me? What could I do differently next time? What is this event or this situation telling me? What can I learn from this event? Adopt a more flexible mindset approach. Lastly, improve your mental resilience. Do something every day that makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Every day, try to get out of your comfort zone just a little bit. Over time, this will build your mental resilience. In at number 5, we have forest bathing, or to use the Japanese word, shinrin-yoku. This featured in episode 14. And to put this into context, the average UK office worker spends a limited amount of time outdoors each day. 40% of UK office workers spend a maximum of just 15 minutes outside. That is not including their commute. An additional 22% of UK office workers spend a maximum of 30 minutes outside every day. And yet, scientists in Japan have found that the levels of stress hormones, cortisol, decreased in test subjects after a walk in a forest when compared to a control group of subjects who engaged in walks within a laboratory setting. A 40-minute walk in a forest was associated with improved mood and feelings of health and robustness. Japanese scientists have also found that forest bathing, i.e. spending time in a forest, seems to significantly mitigate the root cause of a multitude of ailments which are associated with stress. Excess stress can play a role in headaches, high blood pressure, heart problems, diabetes, skin conditions, asthma, arthritis, and yet time spent in a forest setting seems to counteract these. Forest bathing produces increased parasympathetic nervous system activity, i.e. it prompts rest, recovery, conserves energy, slows the heart rate and the digestive system. Just something as simple and as free as spending time in nature actually helps us to relax. In at number 4, we have intermittent fasting or time-restricted eating. This featured in episode 11. I've been a fan of time-restricted eating for some time now, and a little bit of a warning notice or a disclaimer. Please, before making any changes to your diet, consult your medical practitioner. Do not go and try time-restricted eating without first consulting with your GP or medical practitioner. As I said, I've been a fan of time-restricted eating for some time now. My personal 8-hour window for food consumption is between 12 p.m. and 8 p.m. There are a number of reasons I practice intermittent fasting. The main one around cognition is the amount of focus it gives me first thing in the day. I find that with no breakfast and running through till 12 p.m. before I actually intake any kind of food, it boosts my productivity, my focus and my energy levels in those hours between waking and actually consuming food at 12 p.m. and has been a dramatic game changer for me in the amount of work I can get done in those first hours of the day. In at number three, get sufficient good quality sleep. Sleep featured in episodes 1, 11 and 38, and my research for these episodes has led to quite some significant changes to my sleep routine and sleep patterns and the quality of my sleep. As I think I said in probably episode 38, my actual sleep routine starts at sunrise by getting early morning sun into my eyes quite early on. The next change is one we've touched on already, no caffeine after 12 p.m. And then I start that wind down to sleep. As Matthew Walker, the sleep scientist, put it, going to sleep is very much like bringing a 747 into land. It's a controlled, gradual process. You just don't fall into sleep. It's a gradual, progressive process. And that's what I've tried to build into my daily routine now. I have a routine that brings me down into sleep. This includes an evening routine of trying to read some fiction at night, no blue light or no electronic devices after 7-8 o'clock, just again to allow my mind to wind down and I'm not exposing myself to that bright light. There's certain supplements I've tried. Magnesium threonate is one of them. By adopting a lot of these protocols, I have dramatically improved the quality of my sleep. And now I actually wake up energized and ready to go. At number two, we have used your most productive hours to good effect. This featured in episode 6. In episode 6, I talked about understanding your sleep chronotype and then scheduling your most important work to your most productive hours. And by doing this, you can boost your productivity and your focus. The first step in your journey to boosting your productivity is to understand your sleep chronotype. When you know this, you will have an indication of when you are the most productive. Your sleep chronotype is closely related to your circadian rhythm, which controls the day-to-day sleep-wake cycle and releases melatonin in response to the environmental cues of light and temperature. While circadian rhythm can be trained by adhering to a strict schedule or a strict daily schedule, the underlying sleep chronotype exists on a more permanent basis. And if you're out of sync with your sleep chronotype, you will feel or experience symptoms similar to jet lag, and you'll feel out of sync. So how do you find out what your sleep chronotype is? Well, there are quite a few quizzes out there on the old World Wide Web. I personally use the one of the most popular online quizzes by Dr. Michael Bruce, and who describes the four kinds of chronotypes and names them after animals. The Dr. Bruce quiz can be found at www.thepowerofwhenquiz.com. That is www.thepowerofwhenquiz.com. Based on the quiz, I have the bear type sleep chronotype. So I need to schedule my most productive time between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. This is the time I need to keep free in my calendar for my most important tasks. And again, this has been quite a change for me in the way I approach productivity and schedule my most important tasks. I would definitely recommend you spending a bit of time to find out your sleep chronotype and then try scheduling your productive hours around your chronotype and see what happens. And here we have it, my number one lesson from 2021, and that is just start and improve as you go. And that came from all the episodes. My biggest lesson of 2021 is just to start. The idea for this podcast has been with me for many years, at least 4 years, if not longer. And I put off starting because of the excuses I was making. I was saying to myself, I didn't have the right equipment. I didn't know how to start. I wouldn't sound right. It needed to be perfect. My advice to you, whatever you have in mind, going into 2022, just do it. Just start and improve as you go. The act of starting will build momentum, and then you can learn and refine as you go. Do not wait for the right moment. There will never be a right moment. It will never come. Do not wait until it's perfect. It will never be just right. It will never be perfect enough. You have got to just start and to build momentum and refine as you go. So whatever it is you've been thinking of doing, start it now. Take those first steps and begin. Don't wait. That was my top 10 of learnings from 2021. I just want to say thank you to everybody who's listened in 2021. It's been much appreciated. The show is going to go on in 2022. I've got plans now to move on to doing interviews. I want to increase the quality of the podcast and drive it forward. But the main thing is, thank you for listening. That was the Winning Edge Coach Podcast. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of the Winning Edge Coach Podcast and you'd like to help support the podcast, please hit the subscribe button and if possible, leave a rating or a review. Also, please feel free to share the podcast with others and post about it on your favourite social media platform. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Twitter @WinningEdgePod. Thanks again. I'll see you next time.